Hello, and welcome to episode 205 of the Book Wars Pod.
Still feels weird.
Sorry, my air horn was not working. Wait, I can't use media and be muted at the same time anymore.
Oh, really?
Damn, that's fucked up.
I'm not air horning at that. I'm just air horning for you.
Yeah, no, understood. Just
I was gonna say, like, Riverside, why don't you tell us things, and then I remember that I never check the pod email. I'm also running a contest.
Oh my god. So I want to actually go on a little. Am I allowed to go on a little rant about Riverside on Riverside?
Please.
Anyway, it's fine. Up until like a couple of weeks ago, you were able to like export everything all at once. So all the audio files, all the transcriptions, all the like little auto-generated like captions, and you can't do that anymore.
What the fuck do you mean?
And I have to go through and like download every single track individually, and they won't let you download the transcriptions because I guess they were AI generated, and now it's like, hey, you have to have like a certain tier to get these auto-generated transcriptions. Yeah. So just a little inshittification. Just a little bit.
Oh man, that is so annoying. I am so sorry that is happening. Riverside, we're playing you real American dollars right now for whatever they're worth for whatever foreseeable future. Fucking come on, man. Just... Great. Cool. Love that for everybody. Anyway.
All right, I'm going to mute myself and the effects. Yeah. Bye.
Oh my god.
We have no gadgets in case notes. We are not celebrating the release of The Mandalorian and
Grogu. Oh my god.
We don't have Mandalorian add-ons.
Also, like, just a separate. I say anyways, not to dismiss Devin, but because like it's just like, why is everything like this? I just like, I can't. Anyway, there's stuff going on at my job right now that I will not talk about because my boss knows what my podcast is. But I don't love any of it. So, okay, we love like 10% of it. And then the rest of it is like, what are you doing? Anyway.
We have some bullshit at work, too.
Cool.
It's probably different than yours, but it's bullshit.
I don't like any work bullshit of any flavor. Yeah, right, really. I was going to say, did you even say what the hell book we're reading? I'm sorry.
No, not yet. Literally all I said was episode 205.
Welcome to Book Wars Pod.
Sick.
This week, we are starting The Eye of Darkness by George Mann, reading through chapter 14, mm-hmm. Which is the official start of phase 3 of The High Republic. We got through phase 2 in record time, y'all. It's also because phase 2 is the shortest of them.
It's very short. And also, you know what? We did a thing. Which is,
I mean, considering it took like 5 years to get through phase 1.
We were doing our best.
We tried. And we made it.
We made it together. Through the power of friendship.
All right, let's pull back a little bit. Like,
through the power of
friendship. We did lose a couple producers.
Oh, man.
Really want to air horn that, but I won't.
Anyway,
jeez.
What is everyone drinking today?
I have a big sippin' from Odell Brewing.
Tis the season.
Yeah, it is.
It's sippin' season again.
It is. It wasn't like a month ago when we finally finished our last Blackberry Sour of last year's batch. You know, it's fine. So this is Odell's offshoot of their Sippin' Pretty. It's an Imperial Fruited Ale, which means it's 8% ABV. So we're going to have a good time today. This is Chris's worst fucking nightmare. I've had this like once or twice before, I had a great time. So,
I love that.
Our unique fruit blend creates a bold but balanced tropical cocktail of flavors and a beer that's larger than life. This Imperial Fruited Ale delivers both beauty and brawn. That's a lot for copy, but the can is pretty in purple. So,
oh, it's purple.
Yeah.
And I have the Sippin' Blackberry, as eagle-eared listeners will remember. we just got like one big box of these at the grocery store last year and basically drank them the entire summer because we don't drink beer outside of the pod. And probably the same thing going to happen this year. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Oh, you know?
Jesus Christ. Burb, what you got?
I have the finest Portland tap water from my good friends at the Portland Water Bureau.
Hell yeah.
A great Instagram follow.
Really?
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't know if I actually followed them, but they've got a fun
I
one.
Love when public services actually have the most hilarious fucking like social media accounts because they know. Why the fuck else would anybody care about this?
Some of us work in that industry, and people are nerds, but they've got stuff about, like, don't use anti, like, watershed language. And it's like, instead of swimming upstream, it's like some other bullshit. And there's like a picture of a salmon.
That's funny, actually.
That's really funny.
God, let me see if I can find it.
That reminds me of when I was a consultant and did work for, an organization that was related to, like, bird conservation. We could not say killing two birds with one stone. It was feeding two birds with one seed.
That's so bad.
That's pretty funny.
That's so awful.
I enjoyed it.
Oh my god, have I ever seen seeds before? That's not how that shit works, but okay. Devin, what do you have?
Okay.
I guess at the moment drinking water, but I might make some tea in a second. I just have to finish writing down this title.
I will say, I will be getting beer after this, but I have to go to the bar for that. And I am here and not the bar.
Yes.
Where is this fucking salmon? Okay.
Did you mind? I don't know.
No, but I stop using anti-water language at work. Instead of "I'm in hot water," try saying "I am body tea."
That's so gross. That's so
instead of "pour cold water on a brainstorm," try saying "quench a discussion with a brisk sky juice."
That sounds like a Mountain Dew.
It really does.
It fucking does. Where is this fucking sandwich?
They only serve it specifically at Taco Bell cantinas. Mountain Dew Sky Juice.
I'm fucking upset right now. I have a coworker who just like basically only drinks Mountain Dew. I'm not convinced he drinks water, actually. Oh. He doesn't drink alcohol. It's just Mountain Dew. And I'll like have a meeting with him at like 8 o'clock in the goddamn morning. He's just chugging Mountain Dew, and I'm like, bro, this is insane behavior. He doesn't drink coffee, he doesn't drink tea, he doesn't just Mountain Dew. It's just Mountain Dew.
I had my first ever Baja Blast the other day, actually. I'd never had a Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
When the fuck was this?
Last week when I was playing Legion, I was thirsty, and that's
okay. I was like, why wasn't I there for this? I feel like I would have remembered.
It was actually pretty good.
A neon colored beverage. Yeah, okay.
Dude, Baja Blast is fucking great.
Dew, which I did not really expect.
Correct.
But I also don't really like normal Mountain Dew, so it's kind of only one direction to go.
Because it's garbage, but Baja Blast is delicious.
Like if you took Sprite and just somehow made it stickier. You all can make all the faces you want. Tell me I'm wrong.
Chris, what's the cause for this episode? For this book?
For this episode and for this book, our cause is Vote Riders at voteriders.org. Our mission is to eliminate ID barriers to the ballot box so every eligible voter can cast a ballot that counts. Well, that's questionable at best these days.
We're doing our best.
We inform communities about ID laws, equip partner organizations to expand voting access, advocate for pro-voter policies, and provide free one-on-one help to individuals to secure an accepted form of ID to vote. There's also lots of volunteer opportunities for them, including virtual. So if you find yourself just staring at the wall in a pit of despair, you can either donate or volunteer.
And then
not that that's from experience or anything. And with that,
doing great.
And where are we, everyone?
Space.
Correct. We're in phase three. I'll shout that out again because we made it.
Also, we're on a lot of planets.
Oh my gosh, we're on.
Sometimes we're not in space. Yes,
we are on so many planets. So we're definitely on Coruscant. As everyone is running around freaking out for obvious reasons, because we are also inside of and around the Nihil Occlusion Zone, which is living there is as bad as it sounds.
I can't believe they put a force field in space.
Yeah,
the Great Wall of Nile.
Oh my gosh, the storm wall. Yes. So we got hints of this in Tales of Light and Life, but now here we are. We are officially 1 year after Starlight Beacon. Just that. I was trying to find a nice way to say it, and there wasn't one. it's just been a year of bad things and people trying to break through the storm wall and not being able to because they either can't or they die. And yeah, we're just spinning our wheels and crying, which I've never been there before.
How long did it take for them to get that many weird? They have all the scavenger droids and they have space buoys is not the word I'm looking for.
buoys.
Yeah.
Like all along the storm wall.
They're death.
Like that's a lot of preparation for just one
guy. It is an impressive amount of infrastructure for a guy who does not care to govern, honestly.
Yeah, like it's just him saying,
Yes, that.
The one thing about it that I don't get, and it's Star Wars and it's all fake and in space, so like there's nothing to get about it, but like space is three-dimensional. Can't you, like, there's no way they have enough of these probes to like encircle it all together.
You don't know.
Although if you consider the hyperspace aspect of it, but like that's the conversation that they're having.
Yes.
If you approach it at regular speed.
But like go over it. How tall is this wall?
I mean, yeah. I agree with Burb. I feel like it's more of like a metaphorical thing to call it because like yeah, the point isn't really that it's a literal wall. Like you said, I think it literally does. It's like if you go within whatever, you will get pulled out of space and die.
Right.
Yeah, and like even in because they seem to have their space buoys.
Right.
Like in the spots where you could feasibly regular speed it in, because like that's where Bell's hanging out, just like, but kind of, because then they still like yoink into hyperspace over there. What a confusing situation.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense, and that's fine. I actually have no problem with this concept. Like I said, it's Star Wars has never been scientific. This is not Star Trek.
Do the magic hand thing, Star Wars.
Do the magic hand thing, bad dog.
They don't have hands. They have tentacles. Don't be silly.
Do the magic tentacle thing, bad dog.
So just to, you know, really dive into how terrible everything is. The end of the section that we read for the pod, I was just like, wow, we're just like basically doing ISIL beheadings live on TV and just blasting it to everybody.
We went straight to it.
I was just like, oh, this is so terrible. Yeah.
It is. It's very,
it feels so bad.
it's really interesting because we've never had this kind of like galactic hopelessness before over like a long period of time. There's been you have the Empire, but the Empire wasn't like actively outwardly doing shit like this. Like they're, you know, just the more like tyrannical, you get to see nothing because that's the world we live in. Like,
yeah, they were doing it, just not that they were broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
okay.
But like the the like active, like, it's been a year, let's do another terrorism, like, let's murder somebody on live TV, like, that is, it's a different kind of like active fear that it creates, particularly I think among the Jedi, which like obviously is the point, but it's something that we haven't really seen in Star Wars before. I think
it's just like the just like how in your face it is that their just lack of care for other people's lives, that's really fucking alarming. Like, listen, the Empire fights battles and whatever the fuck else. And also, like, they have a propaganda machine. Like, they would love for people to not actually know that the Death Star blew up. They're not putting this, you know, they're not just, like, putting this on every single fucking Holonet channel or whatever. There's also the aspect, like, honestly, reading the scene out, honest to God, made me real fucking nauseous. It was very detailed in a way that was effective. But the fact, like, listen, I understand that this is a real powerful old man Jedi, and also it's just like, you're attacking a grandpa and sucking his soul out of his face, so I don't like it. I don't like that.
We kill a lot of grandpas.
Yeah, like, we took this dignified, like, old man who was, you know, probably supposed to be in Jedi retirement, like, teaching the kids and shit like that, and you have him literally, like, crying, dying on the floor. It's like horrible. It's so bad.
Screaming, crying, turning to stone.
Yep. Yep. I really think the reporter was a really good point of view choice for this as well. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just agreeing. I really like that choice. It was horrifying.
Yeah. Like, Yeah, no. Like, her as a layperson, like, this coming out of absolutely fucking nowhere, and also the fact that she's a reporter, and she's, you know, there is some part of her brain that is documenting all the things, and all the things are very bad.
And I think it's very effective. Important to note that, like, at the time that this is happening, they are still at square one in terms of stopping this. Like, they have, you know, now they actually get to see that the bad dogs are real. They can't deny it to themselves anymore. Yoda.
That aspect too, if it's just let them be actually being able to see them, like, properly and not be affected by them, and they're still just as bad as when they're making you go crazy. Like,
yeah, underrated for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, it's terrifying, and it's like, I mean, just to kind of like continue with your like ISIL beheading metaphor, Kate, like, it really does kind of harken back to this, like, you know, if totalitarian governments or the Empire / you know, now whatever, like, where, you know, you're just like being watched and you are afraid to step out of line. This is very much kind of the chaotic violence of kind of like the early 2000s terrorism scare, where every like fucking big event, it was like, if you see something, say something. And like, if you see a bag, could be anything. Like, and it's just that kind of randomness to it and unpredictability, I think, really does cut through this scene in a very jarring way for people who grew up in the early 2000s. I don't know if I don't want to speak for y'all, but for me, it felt, and I say this like in a good way, because like, it was very clearly the point, but it felt a little close to home.
Yeah, I can't relate to anything you said, because I only talk about 9/11 every other week on the spot. So yeah.
I will say, I like that analogy, especially as it pertains to like phase one, where we did see them doing like the spot terrorism. If you see something, say something. Now I have questions about like how regular space citizens are taking it, like in the core worlds, because, you know, obviously denial before were really doing their damage, like out in the Outer Rim, where the Republic may not have been operating, and where, you know, things were a little loosey-goosey with regulations and defense and stuff. And now it's like, hey, well, I mean, that is also a fuck. That's also a reference. Because it went from the outside stuff and bombing embassies to here it is.
Yeah, 2000s, not a good time.
Not a good time.
Not a good time.
Being a millennial is so fun. Every day.
But yeah, but I mean, I think your point is well taken, Burp, where it's like, this is not... I feel like even in the core worlds, it's... You don't feel as safe as you did.
Yeah, now it's something they have to fear.
And like...
That they've seen it up close.
And I mean, you know, we haven't gotten to like any of like Gira actually going to Coruscant yet, but like we've heard her talking about it and like she's able to get to Coruscant just fine. Like, you know, like she's moving freely throughout the galaxy. So the physical barriers, which is ironic because they built a new one, but the physical barriers that used to protect the populace at large from violence are kind of quickly dissolving.
Gyarostaros.
Well, no, they're turning to stone. Yes.
Moving, Gyarostaros moving freely through the galaxy, encumbered by all her emotional and psychological and moral baggage, you know, whatever.
Gyarostaros. All right, this wasn't on the thing, but we can talk about it. Oh, no, it was on the thing.
No, it's somewhere.
Hey.
No, because I...
Guys, have you read outlines? They're crazy.
Wrote this whole fucking outline by myself. Dude, I had to write that down because there's this... Because, like, we've been wondering this entire time. Just like, doesn't she have a child? Has she no care for this literal, like, what... How old is this kid now? Like, 11-year-old? Yeah, there's like a throwaway phrase in a throwaway sentence that's just like, she did this for herself and also her daughter. And I'm like, what daughter? You haven't thought of her in a million billion years. And also she's been missing for a year because you blew up her house. Like,
yeah, I was like, wasn't she on the story?
Yeah, weekend? Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was.
Cool.
But yeah, like Gira is...
Dumb idiot.
She is so stupid. Like, man. Who could have guessed that this band of pirates would have absolutely no interest in governance?
Oh my god.
Did they not take a civics class in high school? How dare they? They don't even know how a bill becomes a law.
Well, Alice, also, I just promise you, the no dick is that good. Like, I really...
No.
Especially when you've got the fucking squiddy dog staring at you while you do it.
Oh my god.
Is that what I said?
I was going to say something that's TMI. Anyway.
For what it's worth, I have no idea what she was going to say. Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, I just like, listen, we will see how things go for her as events unfold. I don't think they're going to go that well because Markian's already annoyed at her for, you know, finding it.
Everything.
Yeah, finding all the things morally reprehensible and just like gross to look at, what with the death and the corpses and the husks and whatever. So anyway, I just had to flag that because I love pointing out a bad mom or a bad parent in Star Wars. So
it is wild that she like, and honestly, like, I get it because like people are this, like, if we've seen anything in the real world
over
the past decade, it's that people are this stupid. But like, it's wild that she looked at Markian Rowe as he was like murdering or like organizing the killings of his Tempest Runners, like sowing chaos with no tangible benefit to the Nile, and like very clearly just focused on destruction, not power, and be like, this feels like a man who is going to allow me to shape the government I want.
I, like, can't wait until we get to the point where she's like, I never thought the bad dog would eat my face.
Yep.
She's pretty close to that point.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, it's gonna, like, I can feel that it's gonna happen, because what a chaotic situation. I love that she's, like, very insistent on, we can make a government happen. We'll be ministers.
Not the ministers. I fucking can't with her. Just... Taking one of your points, Kristen, coming back to the executions on live TV. So, listen, before inevitable events came to a head in this stupid fucking country, I really would have been like, you know, there was like about half an ounce of like, I don't know what to call it, hope, optimism, something, like a shred of positivity to me that was just like, people cannot possibly be this dumb again. And then, you know, the things very obviously started going in a direction very quickly. And then I was like, oh no, they can. So always my question with Star Wars is, you showed this dog eating this old man on live TV, and, you know, we get to however's like what, 100 whatever ass years to the Skywalker timeline, and nobody talks about it. You know, and I'm sure, you know, we've already talked about how between phase two and phase one and three, like, people have lost the leveler behind like mythology and nursery rhymes and all that shit, and yeah, it's the way that fact very quickly like dissolves into mythos in this galaxy is like fascinating, and I wouldn't have said it was unrealistic. I don't know, like maybe 7 years ago, like before the pandemic, and at this point I'm just like, nah, people are just fucking dumb. I don't even know what to say about it anymore. Like, there it is. If we had read this at an appropriate time, maybe I would have felt differently, but I probably wouldn't have.
No, I mean, I think that's completely correct. And I, you know, I think we've like made this point on the pod before, but like how at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was like, how come like nobody ever talks about like the 1919 flu mm-hmm. pandemic? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like such a major event. And then we all got like 1 month into the pandemic and we're like, oh yeah, no, I get it. None of us are ever going to talk about this again.
Yep.
And we don't.
Yep.
Like, honestly, yep. Like, we refer to it as like before COVID. Like, it was this like little quirky time where, like, you know, man, shit was crazy back then. And not as if it was like a whole ass year when like everybody was afraid to go outside.
And
like,
also literally
millions of people died.
Right. Yeah. Like millions of fucking people.
Like, it is wild the extent to which society pushes you to move past things,
but also the human brain. I feel like
also, it's definitely a trauma response too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like definitely just like I'm in labor and I'm in the worst pain I've ever had in my life, and then the baby pops out, and then all the fucking like oxytocin floods in. They're like, I would absolutely do this again. It's just like, what the fuck are you telling me? You have been ripped from like whatever to asshole. Like, I don't I hate it.
We're cheerful today.
All right. Do we have any other uplifting thoughts around this topic? Like, no. So obviously we're like 100 pages into phase. Oh, yes.
Right. Can I say one thing about it? I think it was very fucking funny that like, was Geera on Coruscant when she was like, we're not going to do anything for the thing? Did I make that part
she
out?
She was not on Coruscant.
But she had communicated it.
She was
it.
On the phone with, what's her face?
Okay.
The Chancellor.
So.
Chancellor So.
Yeah, with Lena So.
Oh, I understand what the question is. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's very fucking funny that she was like, we're not going to do anything for the anniversary. And first of all, she doesn't know shit. But the way that everybody was like, we believe you. It's like, why? Do you not remember everything that happened?
Like, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, technically, what they said was, we are not going to do a terrorist attack. They did not do a terrorist attack. They just executed a motherfucker on live TV.
If you captured him in a prior terrorist attack, he's your property now.
Oh, God. So like, it's still you can still argue that's a terrorism, but it's not an attack per se.
She said terrorist attack. God damn it!
It's more of a terrorist event. A terrorist happening, if you will.
Oh my God! Cool. All right. Like I was saying, we're like what? We're like 100 pages into phase three, and we have much more to come. But I do appreciate the itty bitty little connections we are getting to phase two. So, oh golly, what the fuck is this guy's name? The other Porter Engel is just like, I have a great freaking idea. I'm gonna use the oldest droid in existence to send messages to the Republic. And he is a million billion years old, as we now know from having read the comics. So like, it gave me joy. Porter Engel's a badass. We've been told this constantly. And seeing him do things, despite the fact that he's like about to keel over, is like really fucking cool.
It is a lot of fun to see those connections. And, you know, as much fun as it was to like get like old Porter Engel and then go back in time and see like prime Porter Engel,
yes, and like we had kindly, I'm gonna make some chili real quick, Porter Engel, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah. And like, and then to go back to like, I will execute all of you without lifting a finger, like Porter Engel, and now like seeing that kind of pop back up and how like quickly he slid back into that identity has been really interesting.
Yeah, it's extremely like Revenge of the Sith, like Yoda getting into the lightsaber fight, which should they have done that is a whole question we can have about George Lucas and his obsession with the CGI. But it feels like that, except like cooler. I don't know.
Wait, what lightsaber fight?
Like, you know, when, or no, sorry, Attack of the Clones is what I'm thinking of, when Yoda's just like, and now we're gonna, and now we are gonna see Yoda do cool shit.
Oh, the Yoda Dooku fight.
Yeah, and which they should have saved for Revenge of the Sith, and they did. And George Lucas said, "I don't care. I'll do whatever I want because that's what he does." Anyway,
this is why whenever people are like, "I'm so worried about the future of Star Wars," I'm just like, "The future of Star Wars has always been shit." We enjoy these things not because they are good, but because they are fun. There have been two actually good Star Wars movies in history.
But George Lucas told me there's no bras in space.
There's no bras in space. Breasts just float boobily across the stars.
I miss Carrie Fisher so much. Yeah. Okay. Alrighty. So, 1 year past the fall of Starlight Beacon, all the Jedi are having a bad time, which, like, is obvious.
What else is new?
is obvious, and also, oh my fucking god, why are you yelling?
He's yelling at his sister.
Oh my god. Okay. Feel free to leave that in. Anyway, all the Jedi are having just, I feel, a uniquely bad time, so let's get into it. Yay. I'm fascinated in particular with, like, perfect scion of the Jedi, Avar Chris, just being like, I don't know, whatever, I'm gonna do a full, not quite full assassin mode, but pretty close to it. Like, we're undercover, everything sucks. I feel real lost. Let's not talk about how Stellan caused all of this, but whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah. I feel like we talked in phase one about how we like got very little of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we got a lot of Stellan and a lot of Elzar. God help us all.
God help us.
But we didn't get a lot of her. And I feel like, especially on second reading, like, that feels very intentional because there was nothing interesting about her in phase one because she was so perfect.
She was Jedi Barbie.
Like, we only start
I'm so for real
hearing about her as that facade shatters. And because, like, she feels, and, like, certainly, like, a part in the fall of Starlight, like, she feels responsible for it, for the fall of Starlight Beacon. And
she should.
Yeah, no.
Because she, like, went on a revenge quest.
That's not an unreasonable
thing. She fucked off
feel.
In the middle of,
like,
that.
And her, like, very important, like, best friend died, like, again, partially because of her. Mostly because he's an idiot, but I digress. Hashtag Stellan sucks.
Listen, the three of them share one brain cell, and sometimes none of them have it, actually.
It's true. Sometimes the droid has it.
Yeah, that's so accurate.
Usually the droid has it.
But yeah, and so, like, it is interesting to kind of see all that stripped away. It's a really interesting piece of storytelling because, like, I feel like we're used to having the Paragon in Star Wars, like, you know, at least in the originals, like, you have the ideal and it's like unattainable. And in Light of the Jedi, in the first book, like, she is presented as the Paragon. Like, she is the best of us. She literally fucking, like, stops the great disaster from destroying Hetzel and, like, the sun from, like, explode, like, a fucking fuel canister from falling into the sun and exploding. Like, she is doing, like, all of the, like, magical shit where it's, like, we're all, like, kids are all, like, why can't they just use the Force? because that's not how the Force works. But, and now we've really, like, stripped that away to, like, the bare essence of, like, okay, like, you don't have your identity. You don't have your public image. You don't have your ability to be seen. Like, what do you do when no one is looking?
What are you? This is a sidebar, but also, I just want to throw in there that Marking Rowe making Hetzel his, like, capital world of this whole business.
Diabolical.
Oh, I know. He's a fucking evil genius. I was like, bro, that's so good. You're so terrible. Anyway, it was one of those, like, small details where I was like, I did not see that coming, and it added so much for me. So,
if the Jedi on Coruscant knew that was happening, it would be, like, twisting the knife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, Eivor's in there. She is in there with him, and she knows exactly what is going on.
And, I mean, not just the symbolic value of it, but, like, the fact that it was the galaxy's biggest supplier of Bacta.
Oh, man, like, yes.
Not that...
And also food? That's... They had some food.
I think some food symbolic. And largely Bacta.
Yeah.
But, like, Bacta is a very precious resource that, like, they can't just go around the Stormwall of Hormuz to deliver it to the rest of the galaxy.
Shut up!
Fucking Christ.
Everything's fine.
Why haven't I quit this pod by now?
Why haven't you quit this marriage by now?
We're, like, literally going on vacation next week because it's our 10-year fucking wedding anniversary this year, which, like, it feels like we shouldn't have been married for that long because, like, both of us should not have tolerated each other for this amount of time, and yet here we are, so... Yeah, no.
We're qualified to talk about bad decisions in Star Wars.
Oh.
God.
Anyway.
Okay.
So Belle is sad.
I'm sad too, Belle.
What the fuck else is new? But at least he's sad with his...
Yes!
He's sad with his friend who is out here like, hey, did you spend 6 months under the fucking ocean? I didn't think so. Deal with it.
I know.
Pick yourself up.
Oh my god.
Bootstraps. yeah, he's sad with his friend, but they did just watch their mentor get captured and murdered on live television.
Yeah, that'll fuck somebody up.
So...
I'm saying Burry doesn't also have the fact that it's like bootstrapping.
Oh my
god. It's like some new bitch in the Nile who, like, got him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, I have a sidebar about new bitches, etc. Later on this outline.
Shrike.
Correct. But yeah, I just, like, man, this poor guy. They graduated, so that's exciting for them, but they only graduated because everything's fucking terrible. I'm really worried about Belle getting caught up in going after this Nile Ho, because, like, I'm real worried about him getting sucked into this. He is, like, listen, sometimes him being hyper-fixated on Loden's death is helpful, like when you rescue your friend from being in Tom Hanks Castaway. Sometimes you're just so mad all the time, and Burry's also, I feel like, concerned about this because he's just like, hi, how many times have you watched that holo of this guy getting brutally fucking murdered? Maybe you should stop. Great idea, Burry.
Maybe it's not the best idea, but
yeah, I mean, I think in the whole, both in everybody's attitudes but also in the Guardian protocols, overall, we're seeing a lot of, like, and we talked a lot about this in phase one, but, like, we're seeing the, like, super acceleration of the militarization of the Jedi. Like, there is no fear, except that we're all hanging out in Coruscant because we want to, not because we're afraid. There is no anger. We just all aren't angry at Marky and Ro and the fact that we can't do anything about it. Like, you know, like, there's, they are really kind of clinging to scraps of their ideology here and not taking the time to acknowledge that. Like, Burry is the only one who is, because, again, Burry is a fucking champion, and Burry is the paragon we deserve. But
he's also probably secretly old as hell because Wookiee, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
We don't know what a Wookiee, what a child is for Wookiees. We don't know how fast they grow.
Yes. Like, actually. I just, man, it just, it does feel a little pathetic to me that there's, like, you know, there's like a several thousand Jedi in the galaxy and 99.9% of them are just huddling at the main temple. And I'm just like, listen, I understand that we're all afraid of the bad dogs, but it's been a fucking year.
We will pray on this.
And they're not letting anyone, like, Belle had to fight to be like, let me go pretend to do something, question mark. Like, they're just like, well, if the council doesn't know what to do because we're the smartest bitches in the world, then nobody gets to do anything. And I'm like, I don't think that's solving your problem.
This is yet another sidebar, but when we started, like, Belle was like, I can't even do a force jump correctly. And now he's like predicting where Nile ships are going to randomly, like, pop back out of hyperspace with their path drives. And I'm like, oh my God, our baby's all grown up. What the fuck?
Baby got some
yeah. Oh man. It makes you more powerful. Is this supposed to be like some weird fucking, I don't know, inspiration?
I don't think so.
Whatever the fuck. Inspiration porn. Okay. Well, either way, I'm so proud of him. And the dog. Always proud of the dog.
I don't get the sense we're supposed to be proud of Belle at this particular moment. I get the sense we're supposed to feel bad for Belle.
I can do both.
I mean, fair.
Also,
yeah, why not?
Also, like I said, the dog's doing great too, so.
Ember continues to thrive, which is the most important
thing. She's a good girl.
Also, every time Ember accidentally sets Burry on fire a little bit, kills me.
Oh my God! How did I forget to put that in this fucking outline? Burry just like him just being like, oh, it's happening again, just putting out his leg. Like,
stop dropping
rubbish.
He's just like, ah, yes, it's just happened. Like, not even thinking about it. I'm just perfect. Excellent. Yes. All right. Fucking Elzar. I read the prologue of this book, and then I turned to chapter one, and I was like, you're giving me an Elzar point of view chapter right off the bat. I'm quitting Star Wars.
Elzar, man, really looked at this whole ass fucking galaxy-wide crisis. There's a storm wall, there's an occlusion zone. You can't, like, if you're on the other side, you can't reach them. And he said, did Eivor leave because of me?
I hate this man.
He's a whiny bitch.
I hate this man. Chris swears to God I will no longer hate this man at the end of phase three.
That's
and I'm
not
like,
what I said.
Okay.
I said he gets more interesting. I didn't say you won't hate him.
Oh my God. All right, I take it back. I'm afraid.
But yeah, no, he really is just...
Did Eivor leave because of me? Is that why she went to the other side of the galaxy? Not any other reason?
I just can't... Not that there's a whole hostile takeover of like an entire like... like area of the whole fucking galaxy, and there's a bad dude like murdering old people on live TV, and you know, like actually like killing children and all this other fucking shit. I am too horny for this to be happening to me.
I don't like the way she looked at me after I told her I murdered
I don't like it so much. I haven't told anybody else that I murdered somebody.
Also, not just murder somebody, mind you, but like completely just like cut, like mauled, literally mauled them, cut them in half. Like
Spider Moth,
except dead.
Yeah.
Actually, all the way dead.
It's not often you get to use the word bisected. I'm just going to read this point on the outline word for word, and then we can move on from it because there's nothing to add. At least Stellan is still dead. I have nothing to add. It's a perfect, concise. It's truly a platonic conclusion to draw.
I can always count on that. I can always count on Stellan at this point being fucking dead. Can't fuck anything else up if you're all the way dead.
More reliable than he was in life, I'll tell you.
Jesus. Oh my god. I'm just going to start complaining about them having canceled the Acolyte again without me finding out how Baby Vern became the worst. So, like, just like her dad. So, like, anyway, it's fine. It's not fine.
I still want to talk to that writer to the Acolyte and be like, was this the point? Because I don't think it was the point. But I do hate Vern as much as I hate Stellan now. Anyway, how's everybody doing jumping back into this part of the timeline? Obviously, it's like quite jarring. And at least when we jumped back in time, we kind of like had the understanding that you're not going to know anything.
My whole experience was just like, this side character's name sounds vaguely familiar, and also I'm going to look them up on Wikipedia post-haste because it's going to bother me. I don't remember where the fuck you popped up at. The reporter was one of those people. Lena So's son was one of those, and his boyfriend were one of those, additional people that fall under that category. I was just like, I'm sure there will be more. Especially once we get into like Lena So's like assistants and shit. I'm just like, I'm not going to remember who the fuck you are.
I know that we're in it. I'm really grateful for the short stories. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, oh, I remember more of these people than I thought. And I do thank God for phase two being short, because I do remember some of them, but only like if they were on the Starlight.
I remember everyone who died.
And even then, I never really knew who everybody was, and we're just kind of winging it, but having that transition to like slowly go through and like reintroduce all the characters very softly and gradually, mm-hmm. excellent choice.
Yeah, for sure. Especially like the ones who haven't shown up yet, like Vern. God, if Kristen were still producing this pod, she would have just been visibly dissociating this entire time. She has never remembered a name in her entire fucking life, Star Wars or otherwise.
I feel very strongly that this whole publishing initiative could not have existed pre-Wikipedia. Like, nobody would understand what was going on.
Well, they could create a Wikipedia for you purchase.
Those exist.
And this is how, like, the original, like, the old, like, Star Wars, like, fucking forums came to be. Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, Legends has plenty of just like random esoteric fucking shit details. Like, you know, like this publishing initiative could have existed. It just would have been a bad fucking user experience.
It wouldn't have been, yes, like Legends.
Yes.
I said it.
Yeah.
Legends is a bad user experience.
It is, okay. I'm not sorry about it. So the other thing that kept bugging me, and I'm sure it will continue to bug me as we read this book, is that there are events that are mentioned where I'm like racking my fucking brain, like, did we read about this in a comic and I forgot about it because comics go in one of my ears and straight out the other, or is this in a comic that we haven't read yet, or are you gonna explain this later? And Grandmaster Dead Guy is one of those. Him getting kidnapped is one of those, because like I don't remember any of that, and I don't know if I'm supposed to.
Of Grandmaster Dead Guy getting kidnapped?
Yes.
We got some of the background in this.
Right.
We did.
But it was just like, we were out fighting and Dad got
kidnapped. Right, but like, have we seen that in the comics at all or somewhere else?
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Oh, it was like right before we read Eye of Darkness.
Sure.
It was in the Shadows of Starlight.
Cool story, man. I don't fucking remember anything. That I don't remember anything that has pictures, okay? I'm so for real. I know Burb has the same problem. Like, it's, I don't, okay? Like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I read this, but I don't know what's happening. It's fine.
Is the one who looks like a stegosaurus still alive?
I'm gonna need more.
One of the kids in the comics was like a purple stegosaurus.
One of the kids?
Oh no, Triceratops. Sorry.
I'm still gonna need more.
It might be the one from the cult that they brought on to be friends with them.
I'm still gonna need more. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just me then.
Do you mean the one who, like, he used to have a mask on his face and it fell off? Okay, no. Not that one.
No, no, because he's a Cubone.
Yes, correct. Yes, correct. Yes, you're right.
She looks like a little dinosaur.
Looks like a Triceratops. Like...
15 minutes later.
Yeah, I got nothing here, Burb. I'm sorry.
Who the fuck is it?
I'll see if I can.
You're
find it.
Putting in Star Wars pink Triceratops, aren't you?
I was gonna say, if you put in purple dinosaur, you're only gonna get one.
Oh my god. What the fuck? Incredible. While Burb is
Kate,
looking,
do you want to talk about George Mann while Burb does?
Yeah, I was literally about to say while Burb is looking that up. Listen, I don't. Writing is difficult and laborious, and an individual endeavor, and lots of other things that make it difficult. And also, I can't with this author and his exposition. Through dialogue that is only formed under the fucking, like, as you know, Bob construction, it drives me fucking crazy. Every time Elzar has to talk to the Chancellor, they're just like, well, you remember that 6 months ago, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we remember. Of course this person remembers that happened. It was horrific. What the fuck are you talking about? And, like, obviously this is only for the benefit of the reader to catch them up because, like, you know, we have the time jump and whatever the fuck else. I don't care. Find some other way to fucking do it. Have them look at a fucking newspaper clipping or some goddamn shit. Literally anything. Then, like, doing it through fucking dialogue like it's fucking amateur hour out here. These are the people writing for Star Wars and I can't get an agent. Are you serious? Are you fucking for real? Like, I'm just... It drove me crazy in his middle grade shit. It drives me crazy here because he's just like, you, as a reader, I think you're stupid. And I'm like, no, I think you're fucking stupid. What the fuck is this?
So anyway, George Mann, standing invitation to come on the podcast.
Burb, do you find the dinosaur?
No, but I did type in pink Padawan, and so now that's in my head.
I'm
gonna keep dancing at the pink Padawan.
I love you. That's just beautiful.
Is that where Amadeo went to have sex with his fucking, like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, maybe she doesn't. Or is it just this pink girl?
I was going to say, the only pink girl I can think of is Zine, who definitively does not look like a Triceratops or a Stegosaurus.
For dinosaurs do not have tentacles on their head.
Literally looks more like a bad dog.
I think I maybe be thinking of her, but like projected Triceratops.
Our good friend Zine Miriceratops.
Oh my god.
Like Sarah from The Land Before Time.
Oh my god. I think we know that Zine is okay, but her girlfriend is MIA, as I recall.
That is correct.
Okay.
Zine made it out with Master Yoda and, what is his fucking name? Not Comax Padawan.
The one who was in the circus?
Yeah.
Fuck. What the fuck was that guy's name?
No, not Cantum.
Okay.
The nerd.
Oh, Wreath.
Wreath. Thank you.
Please! Oh my god! Oh, who are you? That's very rude.
I'm sorry, I couldn't remember because he doesn't look like a Triceratops.
We love Wreath. This is terribly offensive. Xena also doesn't look like Triceratops, spoiler alert. But yeah, I
would have given it to you if you'd gone with Korth.
Not Cubone.
Korth. No H. The H is silent.
Korth the Cubone. But yeah, Lula is the girlfriend. She's missing.
Is she? Which one's the cult girly?
Zine is the cult girly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was thinking of the right character.
Almost.
Now I'm questioning whether or not you've ever seen a Triceratops.
Has anyone on this podcast?
I mean, no. I don't know how to tell you this.
I'm questioning if you've ever seen an artist's rendering of a Triceratops.
Have you ever been to a dinosaur museum? Which I'm sure plenty of people have not, but like, even so.
With no gaps whatsoever, thank you for listening to this episode of the Book Wars Pod. Next episode, we're going to be continuing on with Eye of Darkness, reading chapters 15 through 29 of the Book. In the meantime, if you have the means, first and foremost, donate to Boat Riders at boatriders.org. Also volunteer with them if you don't have the means.
Listen, everything sucks, but we still have a moral obligation to do our part. You know, we're doing our best over here. Indeed. With our $600 plane tickets and, you know, people dying and whatever.
Then if you want to support us, you can go to the Tashi Station Radio Patreon or give us a coffee. Patreon, we'll probably stream again at some point, I would think.
Okay, I legitimately have to finish like Last of Us 2 because they're actually filming season 3 now. So,
yeah, there you go.
Do it. I started my replay and I just like stopped.
I feel like there's like a couple new Star Wars video games coming out that I can stream. There's like the racing one, and then there's
or you could do what you did with Outlaws and just stop.
I could. Listen,
was it that bad?
No. Listen, it's just,
actually.
It's very long.
I had a good time.
I will say, if I didn't know what happened from watching her, would have felt more incentive to continue.
The lizard cat is very cute.
Oh, it's Ubisoft. Oh, that tracks.
Yeah, like it's Ass Creed sized. Yeah. Like those games are too big.
Yeah, like if you don't do every fucking side, the lizard cat is very cute and will set off people's bombs for you to kill them, and I love that.
Yeah, that it's like as murderous a sidekick that we've seen this side of Chopper. Anyway, we'll stream at some point. In the meantime, when you support us, it makes Argos Blue, Plix, Magenta, Merly, Orca, and Tony happy. And why would you want them to be sad? Why? Why would you do that? Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Potty and Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design, and our audio and production are done by soon to be Doctor Producer Devin Keys. Thank you for listening from all of us, Kate, Devin, Miranda, and Veronica, and myself. We'll talk to you next week.
Maybe we'll talk to you next week. I owe Devin like 72 blurbs.
We'll talk to you next period of time.
Yeah. Talk when we get to it.
It's, you know, I'm doing it right fucking
serial fiction.
Right fucking now, okay.
We'll talk to you before the Lakers win a championship again.
My god!